Chapter 12, Where's Pepper? Dark skies greeted me once again, forcing me to wonder if a sun even existed here. I scanned the basin, hopeful I'd see Pepper resting on a boulder, but I was alone. The only trace of life was the blackened husk of the tree in the center of the space. I didn't know why I would think things would be so easy. They never were. There wasn't time for me to stand here like an idiot. I needed to track down Pepper and convince her to come back with me before one of us got hurt. I scoffed at myself. Finding her wasn't going to be the hard part. Convincing Pepper to do anything would be the true challenge. I began walking out of the basin and onto the valley trail, my shoes crunching on the gravel as I went. When I neared the end of the trail where it connected with the road and guard station, I stopped, pulled off my coat, and stuffed it into my pack. I didn't want to cover up my uniform, not if I was going to try to pull this off. I was a soldier in Slag's army, and needed to look like one. With my bag flung over one shoulder, I crept forward. It would be best if it appeared I was coming from Braylon's castle. I moved along in the twilight, keeping my eyes on the gate and tower. I didn't see any movement. When I was satisfied with how far I'd gone, I hurried over to the road and walked back toward the station. A man wearing the same uniform as myself stepped out from the tower and called out to me,
"Oi! Where'd you come from?"
I didn't have the time to worry about what to say. I took a deep breath and improvised. The carriage broke down and I had to walk the rest of the way. The others went back to the castle to get help. I don't have time to wait. Bloody useless. I thought we weren't being relieved from duty until nightfall. I wasn't informed of a unit passing through. We were now close enough to each other that I could see his steel-gray eyes and scarred chin. He was studying me carefully and seemed to be deciding if I was even worth talking to. "Are you a general?" I said with as much venom as I could. The man's eyes widened, and he shook his head, clearly thrown from my question. "Well then, do you expect to be informed of all of the movement of our forces? I'm not here to take your post. I have a far more important duty. What is your name?"
"Rogan. The name's Rogan."
"Very good, Rogan. I need your help with something. I'm looking for a girl who may have passed through here. That sound familiar?" Rogan frowned and called out, "Hey, Kendrick, come out here." Another soldier emerged from the guard tower and joined us at the gate. He was much younger than Rogan, maybe a couple years older than me. He buttoned the top of his uniform and said breathlessly,
"Yes, sir?"
"You see a girl walk through here?" To me, Rogan muttered,
Was indisposed for a bit and had Kendrick take charge. You don't have to tell no one about that, though."
Kendrick went silent for a second before saying, "Yeah, a girl came through. She needed directions. She was young and real pretty-like." My ears pricked up and I squinted at Kendrick as he grinned foolishly. What a complete tool. Bet he made a pass at her, too. Rogan seemed to be on the same wavelength. He smacked the boy upside the head and said, "Was she now, you great cassock? You're supposed to detain anyone who comes through here."
"Where'd she go?" I interrupted.
"She headed down the road that way." Kendrick pointed in the opposite direction from the castle and stepped away from Rogan while he rubbed the side of his head.
"Say, mate, you aren't going to tell anyone about this, are you?" Rogan was clearly worried.
"I've been sent to track her down. If this turns into a disaster, it'll be you who has to answer to Prince Braylon, not me. I was getting into this maybe a little too much."
"You'd better hope I find her," I said to Kendrick, poking him in the chest.
His face paled and his jaw fell open as I continued, on a hot streak now. "Why don't you fools do your jobs properly so I don't have to come back here and give you any bad news?" I walked past them without waiting for a response and heard Rogan scolding his sidekick. Once I put some distance between us, I couldn't help but smile. It felt good unloading on them. It felt even better to perform in the moment without failure. It must have been my agitation that gave me courage. It was some kind of miracle. I'd gotten over one hurdle, but my problem now was I had no idea where I was going or where to find Pepper. At least, I was moving in the right direction, and this time I was wearing tennis shoes instead of slippers or boots two sizes too big. The walking kept me busy and warmed my torso, but my hands felt like icicles.
Without a functional watch, I couldn't say how much time passed, but it seemed like at least half an hour before my surroundings changed from something post-apocalyptic to something less depressing. The rocky terrain began to show some signs of life. I'm not talking paradise, but there were a few gangly trees and bushes, so it was an improvement. The sky, however, remained sunless and dreary. I spotted a few buildings in the distance, which I assumed were homes. I picked up my pace, encouraged that I was nearing a town or village. Hopefully I'd find Pepper there. I held on to that hope as I trudged along the road. Something swooped overhead and I ducked down, covering my head and neck. My heart thundered in my chest while I stared into the sky. The form of a bird curled through the air and I breathed a sigh of relief. It landed alongside the road and squawked. From this distance, I could see it wasn't truly a bird. I gaped as I realized this was the creature I had written about, a tamarack. It was more beautiful and strange than I could have imagined. Beady ice-blue eyes stared at me, which sent a chill down my spine. Its body was a foot in length, with emerald scales that shimmered down its torso like a serpent. Iridescent wings shone, displaying spider-webbed veins that pulsed with color. If this animal took after the one I wrote in my story, then I hoped it liked handouts. I slipped my pack off my shoulders slowly and rested it on the ground. As I rifled through it in search of some food, I found the granola bar and snapped off a tiny piece. The tamarack tilted its head as it watched my movements with curiosity. I tossed the crumb ahead of me on the road, and the creature flew over and snatched it up in its toothy jaw. I snapped off one last piece of granola bar and put the rest back into my bag. I stood up straight, if only to feel bigger, and put on my backpack. I was tempted to hold the treat out to the animal, but those teeth appeared very sharp. Want this? I was curious to see if the animal was as intelligent as I'd written it to be. Bring me that rock, and I'll trade you. I pointed to a reddish stone a couple feet in front of me. The tamarack's clawed feet scrambled on the gravel as it scurried forward. I held my breath as it stopped for the stone. Yes, that one, I said, and pointed to it again, completely amazed. Certain of its target, it snatched the pebble in its beak and opened its wings, brushing them against the road before lifting into the air. I realized in terror that it was flying straight at me, but before I could react, it landed on my outstretched arm. Claws clamped onto me, and I was thankful I had on so many layers, so I didn't feel its sharp talons against my skin. I swallowed the massive lump that formed in my throat, and I reminded myself to breathe. While it waited expectantly, I fought the urge to throw up and opened my other hand and offered it the bit of granola bar. It didn't hesitate. In one swift motion, the rock was dropped in my palm and the treat disappeared. Brilliant! You're smarter than a dog. I imagined myself petting its head and it biting one of my fingers off. Those are some sharp teeth. It leaned forward to inspect my open hand, and I abruptly yanked it back, causing the red pebble to tap on the ground. With it so close to me, I noticed its eyes were no longer ice blue, but purple. As interesting as it was staring at a fictional creature, my arm was starting to tire under its weight. How was I going to get this thing off of me? Okay, time to go. No more, I said, hoping it would understand what I wanted. To my amazement, it opened its breathtaking translucent wings and lifted into the air. I stood with my mouth agape like a pitcher plant, trying to collect rainwater as I watched the bird-like animal move through the sky. What was I doing? It was time to move on. This wasn't a trip to the petting zoo. I needed to catch up with Pepper before she got herself into trouble. More trouble. More buildings came into view as I continued on the road, and I could see I was getting close to a town. Dead grass covered the valley in a yellow velveteen carpet. Although it wasn't green or living, it was nice not seeing more gray crushed stone. Gangly trees stood together to make up a sad sort of forest at the far end of the glen. Stone spires reached above their branches, and I spotted what appeared to be another castle. I wondered if I had found Revel Green. Children were out in the street playing, but when they saw me coming, they darted away and into a nearby storefront.
Faces framed in window panes stared out at me, and I flushed from the attention. I gripped the straps of my backpack and ventured along the street. I didn't make it far before a group of teenage boys saw me, and one of them called out, "What are you doing here? You lost?" Freaking brilliant. I never covered up my uniform with my coat. I looked around for a way out of the situation. The boy who yelled at me strode forward and swept his blonde hair from his face. He flashed his dimples as his friends followed behind him. "You have the rocks to walk into Revel Green with that on?" He pointed at my black leather uniform and sneered. "You're stupid or cocky. Either way, you need to leave." "Yeah," his friends chorused. I wasn't one to confront a fight, so I did what any coward would do. I turned and ran. Down a side street and past shadowy doorways I flew, with the boys' shouts echoing behind me. "Hey, stop!" I looked over my shoulder to see how close they were when I ran into something. "Oi, watch where you're going!" A guard dressed in blue picked me off of him and adjusted his tunic. Sorry, won't happen again," I said, and checked on the boys who had stopped and were falling over themselves, laughing at me. I tried to walk away when the guard saw my uniform and his eyes narrowed. "Wait a minute. You're one of Slag's men. You need to come with me. My captain will want a word with you." He grabbed hold of my arm and led me away. The jeers of the boys faded as we wound our way down the cobbled road. As we walked through the streets, I felt on display. The leather uniform that had kept me from freezing in the cold was like a big kick-me sign now that I was no longer in Slag's territory. We ventured up the road and toward the castle nestled in the trees. A breeze combed past us and whistled as it blew across my face. I hunched, lifting my shoulders up to my ears. I slowed down and tried to reason with my captor. "I'm sorry, sir, I'm not really a soldier in Slag's army. I escaped. And I'm here because I'm searching for my friend, a girl named Pepper. She would have come through here this morning." The man forced me along, making me pick up the pace. "No one just escapes Slag's army. You're just a boy. You expect me to believe your story?" "I didn't do it alone. A man named Malik helped me escape while we rescued his son." He stopped and turned to me. "Malik, eh?" "Yeah, we escaped together. I'm not from your land, and I was in the wrong place at the wrong time." The guard seemed to think about it for a moment, and he waved me down a dark side alley. I didn't have any choice but to follow, and I hoped I wasn't about to get ground up. "Tell me, what happened? Red came back alone a week ago without Malik, and I'm hearing all sorts of stories from my buddies up at the castle." I was taken aback. "Really? Well, we were at the tower gate almost free when we were stopped." "I snuck away," I muttered, embarrassed. "I'm not sure what happened." "Hmm," he answered. "I believe you. Don't have the face of a liar. Plus, you're just a kid." I thrust my hands into my pockets and felt the strange stone. I traced my thumb over its smooth, cold surface as I tried to relax. "So Malik never came back? What about his friends?" I asked, their faces fresh in my mind. "No. They didn't return. Red was taken to King Richard to give an account of what happened. Poor kid, I hear the king's pretty upset. Not sure there's any way the situation could be worse." "What do you mean? Is Red okay?" "He is for now, at least for a kid without any parents. The king's named Malik and his men traitors, and if they show up, they'll be tossed in the dungeons for endangering the princess's life. That's only if she lives. If the princess dies, then I wouldn't want to be in Malik's shoes." It seemed messed up to accuse someone of being a traitor just for trying to save his son. King Richard was either a real jerk or he was whacked in the head. Either way, I didn't want to meet him. "So, is she alive?" I held my breath, waiting for his answer. "Don't know. There's been no word from Slag yet. Don't know what's happening in Valen right now. King Richard's reduced his forces as a show of goodwill, and it's just a waiting game." "Wow, that's not good." The guard shook his head. "No, it's not. Let's hope the princess is still alive." I paused, trying to decide how to change the direction of the conversation. "It's really important I find my friend. We need to go back to our home, and it's a long way from here. You didn't happen to see her come through here earlier.
She's got black hair, probably pulled into a ponytail, and lots of black stuff around her eyes. My age? He craned his neck past me first and rubbed his beard. Yeah, don't know how to break it to you, but I think she was the girl that was taken up to the castle. She was trying to gather up a crowd of people to go save the princess. King's pretty sensitive about things like that. Not allowed to spout off like that in Revel Green. I understand you're not from here and all, but it's not wise to make waves and all. And there it was. The great news I was waiting for. She was taken to the castle because she wants to rescue the princess? According to the king, hope only leads to more death. He's attempted everything in his power to rescue her. When Slag threatened to kill her, if the king tried anything else, that ended all of that. What will happen to my friend? I asked, feeling my throat tighten. The guard patted my shoulder. I'll put it this way. If you don't see her in the next couple of hours, then I'd go home without her. Listen, kid, I shouldn't let you go, not after the scene you made wearing this getup, but I might have a problem holding on to you, being a squirmy kid and all. He smiled at me and added, I'd get out of town today and cover up for goodness sake. He brushed past me, and before he walked onto the street, I called out, Wait, where can I find Red? The man pointed to his left and answered, Get out of that tunic before you land yourself in the dungeons. Then follow the main road up to the castle and make your way to the battlement wall. Take a left and follow it around to the blacksmith's. Malik's house is just to the right of it. Thanks. He nodded, rested his hand on the butt of his sword hilt, and strode off down the street, away from me. I ducked against the brick wall of the building beside me, dropped my backpack to the ground, pulled out my jacket and slipped it on, zipping it all the way to my chin. That ought to do it. Now all I needed to do was find Red and rescue Pepper. Easy peasy.